So we, oh yes, all right. You got your Bibles, get those open, and something that you're going to want for tonight is an introduction to the new series we're going to be studying together. And it's not an exposition verse by verse through the book of Psalms. We're going to be all over the Psalms, and I'm just trying to draw out one particular theme, one particular topic, one particular subject that we're going to see, speaking of friendship with God, okay, throughout our time. We may be in this throughout the summer, so a couple months, but one thing I do want us to do together through this time is, if you don't have a notebook that you can write out your prayers, your thoughts, your meditations in God's presence, go and get one for this series, okay? If you have one already, then that's awesome, and use that. But thank you, Trevor, for leading us. This is, and even before we sang, I know Trev mentioned, it has been a while since I've had this kind of setting to be able to kind of speak to you guys from the Bible. It's probably the longest. I've been teaching something in the Bible since I was 19, week to week. And this is, in my life of Bible teaching, the longest I've ever not done that. And so, I think it's good. There's a lot I could say, but I would take up too much time. I'll say that for later. But in short, that pause was very much needed for my soul. And God revealed lots to me about my friendship with Him that I am working and going at to repair and make better. And so I am looking forward, though, to being here together in this present time and space in all of our lives right now again, and to kind of get back into God's Word together. So I know Trev led us in prayer already, but I'm going to ask that you guys join me one more time. And tonight is just an introduction to the series, okay? So we're not going to do our observation time in the text just yet. We'll do that when we work through a psalm, because we are going to work verse by verse through a psalm in this study. It's going to be a different psalm every week, but not through the whole book. But tonight, I'm just going to try to intro it. So we're going to be all over the place. So just have a pen to write things down. Father, it's true that we cannot pray too much. If, in fact, and I believe it is true, that all of our hearts and our souls are genuinely engaging with You right now, then there is something remarkable and romantic and beautiful and powerful happening in this room. Whether there's three of us, 30 of us, or 300, the main person that is so essential that is in the room is You, Your presence. And I ask that You would dominate this place right now, that we would all be dominated by the presence of God in such a way that, though we can't physically see You just yet, we can't feel You hold Your hand just yet, Your person, Your reality would be so, so, so real and active right now. I thank You so much for all our brothers and sisters who are here. And even those who would be here but aren't, God, we love them and ask that You would be them where they're at right now. But Lord, I do ask that, particularly in this space right here, with the brothers and sisters that are present, that You, God of the universe, King Jesus, Holy Spirit, You'd commune with us right now. You'd actually give us faith to believe that You are actually in our midst, that You walk among us. The Bible says that we have to believe that You exist if we're going to please You. And so thank You so much for the opportunity to come together like this. I ask that You would help me, even in my own weakness and in my own failings, to continue to follow hard after you. And the best way that I know that I can befriend my brothers and sisters tonight is to befriend them in such a way that we all leave this place longing so much more to deepen our sacred friendship with the living God. So do that this place. Let no soul leave this room thinking they're leaving alone. We pray that you'd occupy every space in our life that feels lonely. And you'd fill it up because we have an amazing friend in Jesus. Much greater, much sweeter and truer than I really think any of us truly know just yet. And our hearts cry out, yes, come, Lord Jesus, come. And until that day, that glorious day when faith finally meets our eyes, we can tonight walk in true friendship with God. So please, Lord, not a figment of our imagination, not emotionalism, not pretend friend, but true, lasting, real life friendship with the living God. Grow us in this, we pray in your name. Amen. 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 So, hey, what's up, Jen? Oh yeah, grab this. There's one up here if you're brave enough. Right there. Okay, there you go. So question. How many of you guys remember your first quote-unquote best friends? You don't have to share them. I'll share a little bit with you tonight. But can you go back in time in your own history of life? I mean, for me, I can go as far back as 3 and a half. And I remember his name is Justin. And I don't remember how we became friends, but I knew he was my best friend. I knew that when we left San Jose to come to Hawaii, him and his father, I think they said bye to us at the airport. I could be wrong, or someplace. And I still have his face imprinted on the back of his dad's shoulder saying bye to me. And I was sad. We moved here to Hawaii. Childhood, my best friend in elementary was Jeremy, called Bucky. We called him Bucky. Jeremy Bucky Benson was my best bud in the lower elementary days. And I just remember always running around with him in particular. And he wasn't even like local boy. I remember he was from Wisconsin and he had like a mainland accent. Later, middle school, my best friend was Tyler. Some of my family here you remember that, Tyler. And we were best buds. I almost did a little bit better than him in school, and so he told me, when you graduate and go to college, just pack me in your luggage. And we were just best friends. High school was Richie, who's with the Lord now. He was my best friend in high school. Into my adulthood life, I married my best friend. Her name is Samantha. Friendship is... it's something remarkable when you think about it. I pray for my children's friends, who they're going to be friends with growing up. We should pray for our children's friends and our friends, because our friends are going to heavily impact our character. It's going to impact our convictions in life. It's going to affect our emotional and spiritual health for the long term. Friendship. God has made you and I. He's fashioned and created us in such a way that we are a communion people. We're meant to commune with one another. Right? That's why even when we were born, you were to be born into a family community. Right? It's just so essential for our function as human beings to understand, but not just understand, but actually be in awe of friendship, family, and friends. Have you ever been friends with someone that you felt like, I can't believe I'm friends with this person? Does anyone have any of those kind of friends? No. Did you ever have a friend where you're like, wow, like, I can't believe I'm friends with this person?
Negative or positive?
Yeah, but this is positive. Like if, for example, I leave my phone on silent a lot. Let's say my phone was on silent and you saw my phone ringing. but I couldn't hear it. And so you go over to grab my phone to bring it to me, and you grab that thing, and you look at the screen to see who's calling me, and you see Kelly Slater. And it's like ringing. And Trevor's like, grabs it, he looks at it, and he's like, right? And he looks at it because in his mind, he's like, what? And then he looks at it, and in his mind, he's thinking, how can? And then he misses the call because he's too stunned. And as he's walking over, can you imagine he's walking over to give me my phone? And then he sees in my notifications that I had a bunch of missed texts from John Piper. And then right underneath that, there was another missed text from Scotty Scheffler. And then he can't help himself, but he's like looking at what the first lines say. And can you imagine if like he read and was like, and Scotty Scheffler was like, dude, when are we gonna go play golf again? Or like, and then he's like, what the? And he reads John Piper's one. Oh brother, what you shared with me the other night in your devotionals was so da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? Honestly, I mean, and that's none of that's true. But if that was true, and this was going on in I think Trevor would, one, you might be impressed with me, maybe. Two, I think you would honestly ask yourself, like, how did you become friends with dot, 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 dot? And honestly, if that did happen to my phone, I would be like, why is dot, 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 dot friends with me? Right? I've had some friends like that in my life. I married one of them. But if I'm understanding the Christian faith accurately, there is a being who is perfect and holy and righteous and so pure, so far out of any human being's league, that even if they were to see his face, they ought to die. If I'm reading my Bible rightly, then there is a person of such perfection and prominence that is so far beyond us, and yet that person calls us, invites us into close fellowship, communion, friendship with him. Like, if that story earlier was true about any of those human beings, and we get wowed by that, it's crazy, guys. Like, be stunned first, before we get into any of the Psalms, be stunned first at the reality. And then maybe this is a hard struggle for a lot of us, to actually believe that God wants you to be his friend. That's tough truth to swallow for a lot of us. Because if we're honest, when we think of our lives and who we are, we think to ourselves, why would awesome God want to even know awful me? But that's Christianity. It's an amazing thing. Like, friendship with God, when you put that phrase, ought to have a big question mark and a big exclamation mark. Friendship with God? We have to first, like, actually be stunned by that. I remember when my heart first actually started to, like, get pierced by that. I sat in a park and just kept saying to myself, wait, you love me? How can I? The first thing that we need to see is how amazing that is. The second, though, is that that is possible only because he's made it possible by the blood of the Lamb, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's only possible on his terms. God's not your friend because you're cool, and he's not your friend because you have the same interests, and he's not my friend because I'm religious enough or have done enough. I did not perform anything that would merit this friendship with God. I am a friend of God. And Jesus, in John 15, we'll see later, calls you friend on his terms because he made it possible. Before we get into any of the Psalms, because the Psalms is a big book and it's a big word picture of saints who have true friendship with the living God. Before we even get there, though, we have to first realize that this access, this, if you want to use Bible language, communion with God, this koinonia, which is intimate association, aka friendship, deep friendship. But this communion is only made possible because of the union we have with God in the person and work of Jesus. That is foundational in this. Because I don't want us to just get straight into the Psalms and start looking at what this friendship with God looks like, feels like, smells like, acts like, and us to fail to realize that the only way you can even get that phone number, the only way that you can even actually have true access with God is because of the cross of Christ. That is just, that's why at the outset, I wanted to give a whole even message to just start like that. Let me read you this. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says this, God is faithful by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You're called into fellowship. How? Verse 4. The grace of God that was given you in Christ. We're called into this. Like when I told you the story of the missed call. Like if Scottie Shepherd was calling me, I would not be slow to the phone. I would answer that thing so fast. But God has called you. You woke up this morning and God was calling you to friendship. And in our weakness and in our lack of faith, we're quick to snooze the phone. We're not anxious for it. But let me give you some other scripture where I'm getting this. Hebrews 4. We have a high priest, verse 14, who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God. And he says, let us hold fast to our confession. What is that confession? That profession of hope that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. For we do not have a high priest, that's Jesus, who's unable to sympathize with us in weakness. But actually, in every respect, he's been tempted in every way, yet without sin. And then verse 16. So let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I don't know about you, but that sounds like friendship. Friends are people you go confidently to. You're not like tiptoeing to that lunch with all your girls, your close friends, because you're afraid that they're going to accept you. You know that you walk in, you burp and fart and you whatever, you sit down. Why? Because you're already accepted. You're already loved by them. That's a good friendship. You're not trying to impress them anymore. That's what the Hebrew writer's talking about. You can draw near with confidence. And then in times of need, confidence, and in a time when you're all bust up, I don't know, but that sounds like real true friendship. My closest friends have seen me in my worst moments. And I know they're a close friend because I let them see me like that. From the words of Jesus where we get this language, John 15, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for, and Jesus uses this word. His what? His friends. It was his heart's intent that those who believed and trusted in him would become his friends. Like, that's got to hit your heart tonight. You may want all the friends in the world on your social media, or you may lack all the friends in the world on your social media, but there's a God who actually wants to genuinely be your friend. A real friend. And then he says in verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. So he's getting at something. No longer do I call you servants. Servants don't know the master's doing. I've called you friends. Because everything I've heard from Dad, I made it known to you. You see, the thing that Jesus is teaching us about friendship is there's a deep desire for these two parties to know each other. Like, I am close with Christ. Because he has let me know the Father's business. And I want to do it. Like, this is insane to me to think that Christ would invite us into friendship with himself. And want that. You see, good friendships aren't one-sided. Right? We all know this. It's not one party wanting the other person. It's not time spent under compulsion. good growing friendships want to know what each other likes. They want to know what each other hates. They want to know what each other loves. And they want to love one another. So the best earthly friendships that you can think of, I can go all the way back from Justin to Jeremy to Tyler to Richie. And you know how all those boys became best friends? Because we knew each other's crushes. You know, we knew who we liked and who we disliked. We started to share with each other all the stuff we did that we never told mom and dad. You see, there's an inviting of a knowledge. But all those good friends, and even the friendships that you and I may have to this day, those are all faint foretastes of what God actually intended you to taste with Him. They're faint foretastes. I love all the friendships that God's given me here at the church with you guys. But those are all foretastes of a greater, more profound, and more necessary friendship that I have with God. The Psalms is a big, massive book of what I think friendship with God really looks like. And I'm going to make some big, broad observations of the book tonight to kind of give you guys an idea of where we're going when we get into the Psalms. But here's the big heart thing that I've been praying for all of us here. That you and I, this summer, will grow so much more in love with God as friend. He is King, and He is Lord, and He is Master. And that's what makes it more amazing that He also says, but I also want to be friend. Union with God is a free gift, paid by the blood of Christ. And what's amazing about that is because even if I suck at being a friend today, it was never my performance that gave me that friendship in the first place. So the Psalms might expose to us where we've been lacking in our friendship with God, but remember, we come back to this introduction sermon. His friendship with you is not based upon how cool and good and awesome you are as a friend. It's because of Christ. Now, the communion is our responsibility and call. Well, come and get me. Let's cruise. Let's be. Let's have fun. You having a tough day? Let's have a tough day. I'm excited to see my own communion with God deepen because of this. I'm excited to see all of your guys' own communion with God really deepen because of this. And you know what's going to be the byproduct of being a closer friend of God? You and I, are in life and ministry, we will pour ourselves out into other people like it's no one's business. It's just the byproduct. But tonight, it's going to be quick, because that's by way of introduction to the introduction sermon to the series. I am just saying that this friendship is only possible because Jesus made it possible. But now the communion, the union is grace. The communion, though, is if you and I will have the faith to go and get it. Right? So I'm going to make some big sweeping observations. Just three. I had to hold myself back because I was going like 4, 5, 6, 7. Because there's so much we can get from this. So I'm just going to give us three big broad observations that I hope will help our friendship with God this summer. And then we'll be powerful tonight. Alright? The first one is this. The Psalms is going to help us express our many emotions in the presence of God. The Psalms is going to help us express are many emotions in the presence of God. And when you think about friendship, aren't your close friends the ones who get all that? They're the ones who get all your emotions. I see people laughing because it's true, right? They don't just talk to you on the sunny days. They get the rainy days too. Psalm 62 verse 8. Trust in him at, this is big, all times. So that means good times, bad times, blah times, confusing times, all times. Trust in him. O people, and here's what the psalmist says, pour out your heart before him. Pour it out. Just spill it. There's a lot of Psalms. Psalms is not the largest book in the Bible if you're counting words, but Psalms is the largest book in the Bible if you're counting chapters. So there's 150 chapters, and even in those chapters, there's a multitude of emotions expressed in each chapter. It's a lot of emo. It's a lot. It's very emotional. It's filled with it. But now let that be enough. Like, let that speak to us. Why would God in his goodness and providence make such a large book like that? Why? Perhaps God knows that we as his children in this walk with the Lord, in this friendship, there's going to be a lot of seasons, a lot of emotions that you and I are just not always going to know how to articulate. You ever been there? You ever feel a certain way that you don't even know how to explain? Someone asks you how you're doing, it's like the most loaded question in the world. Hey, bro, how you doing? You know, like there's just too much that your brain is like, right? The Psalms is a songbook that gives us words for that. I love it. God is so kind to us to give us such a fat book of a variety of ways, of a variety of language to commune with God. Because we struggle, guys, with pouring out our hearts. What happens if you don't pour out your heart? What happens if you don't process that pain? What happens if you don't express and try to articulate what's really going on in your soul? What happens if you just bottle it all up? You got it. You're thinking it. You break. We sin. We think and feel and do foolish things. This is why I think God is so wise to make the Psalms so large. And again and again and again, he says, come on. Tell me. Tell me like it is. And it's our faith to believe. Do you really want to know? I really want to know. I sent my son for you. What makes you think I don't want to know? What makes you think I don't want to cry? What makes you think I don't want to rejoice with you and carry you and lift you up? This is the book of Psalms. It's music. It's poetry. It is a song book. And I don't know about you guys, but anyone enjoy music? You love? Okay, good. Yeah, bob your head to that, right? Music, it's a beautiful, mysterious grace from God, isn't it? It's why we as Christians are to be a singing people. You ever wonder why we sing so much in our gatherings? It's not just because it's formality and it's good liturgy. Praise God from whom all. It's for your soul care. It's for you to say, even when you don't feel like it, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. It's good for your soul. You know what also made those friendships growing up with me? Us close friends, we all like the same music. So when I was at 15 and I got my license, what was me and my best friends doing down the freeway? Jamming our favorite songs, just going. And just pouring out our hearts in each other's presence. Music and poetry, it reaches the depths of the heart and soul. And it interacts with your inner parts and places that need to really be met by the Spirit of God. The Psalms is a book for the soul. Brother Trevor, you ever wonder why it's such a wrestle to probably prepare this for us? It's because there's a spiritual warfare going on, and What the war is the souls need to sin. Souls need to pour itself out. And so the enemy will make it as difficult as possible for a brother to prepare music for God's people. So I hope that encourages you today, because I don't know what kind of day you had. But all that hard work gave us the opportunity to express our emotions in the presence of God. And time again, in God's faithfulness, I know my heart has been ministered to so profoundly. Psalms is the believer's playlist that they ought to be jamming throughout life. You ought to rock it. Psalms has got all kinds of music. Minor key stuff, the ominous, like the... You know the kind of music that just ends with like that... It just feels dark. Psalms got that kind of stuff. Psalms got like major key music. Like, and we need those songs. Let me give you some. Psalm 5, it says this: let all who take refuge in him and rejoice, let them ever sing for joy. And then the next chapter: be gracious to me, O Lord, I'm languishing. My bones are troubled. My soul is greatly troubled. I'm weary with moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. My eyes waste because of grief. And then chapter 7, one chapter later, I will give to the Lord the thanks he's due. I will sing praises to the name. Chapter 8, Psalm 8. O Lord, how majestic is your name. Chapter 9, give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. He is wonderful. Chapter 10, why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself from me? Sounds like just this person's all over the place, right? But honestly, is that not life? Is that not just the day? I hope this book is encouraging already. It's so comforting. You don't even need to just study it word by word in the Hebrew. You just read the thing and you're like, oh, can you say that before God? It's like these people are close to him or something. It's like he knows them and they know him. And he still accepts them. It's like they're friends. And this is just a snippet of the first 10 chapters. This extreme expression of highs and lows and everything in between. Man, it's life. And I'm so grateful that it's in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 4, it says this: we're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. You see, the Psalms, it showcases the believer when they're afflicted, when they're perplexed, when they're persecuted and struck down, and yet somehow they're able to process all that in the presence of God, and therefore they're not crushed, and therefore they're not despairing, and therefore they're not destroyed. So what happens if we don't learn how to process all this emotion in the presence of God? We will be crushed. We'll stay perplexed. We'll become despairing. And there's a better shot, we'll be destroyed. But take heart, Christian. If you've trusted in Christ, the work's already done. You're going to make it. The question is, on the way there, if you're going to get to enjoy him and love the friendship. If we don't learn to cry in God's presence, rejoice in God's presence, be confused in God's presence, our souls, we're setting our souls up, our hearts up for a very unhealthy life. You will miss out on tasting and seeing that the Lord is what? Good. That's in what book? The Psalms. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste. Oh, taste. You hear that? Oh, taste it. Come on. Taste and see. AKA experience this stuff. He's good. You see, when we learn to regularly express our emotions in God's presence, we will open ourselves up to experiencing the grace and truth of God in a very powerful and life-changing way. The Psalms is extremely personal, it's very experiential, and it's a picture for us of a relationship, of an unfailing friendship. Unfailing. Do you know God in this way? Do I know God in this way? Close friendship. And if you have, here's a big question. Do you want more? Do you want to truly know God more? Closer, sweeter than ever before? And if your heart can say, man, I do, then God is powerfully at work in you. And if your heart is failing, straining to say that, because let's be honest, maybe your heart is saying, I don't mind being distant from God. I don't even know why I'm here tonight. I'm just here because I do it. Then, hey, I have hope for you, because there's many psalms that sound like that too. Remember, he's your friend not because you're a good friend. He's your friend because of what Christ has done. It's just whether or not you can take advantage of that and get all that you can get. A couple more observations and we're done. Psalms is going to help us anchor our souls in the sovereignty of God. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So the psalmist is in trouble right now. But then he says, verse 2, we're not going to fear, though earth gives way, though mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though mountains tremble at its swelling. That means there's a lot of trouble and a lot of intimidation around this guy or this gal. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, a holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and I love this stuff. She shall not be moved. Anchored. Solid. Can't push this one over. God will help her. Nations rage, kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations to the earth. He makes wars cease, that's his sovereignty. He does it. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He does it. He burns the chariots with fire. And the psalmist says, be still. And you can finish it. And know what? He's God. But the psalmist had to go through all that emotional up and down until he got to verse 10. He had to express, oh, I'm in trouble. Everything I look around me looks like it's falling apart. He had to express all of that emotion in the presence of God. And then, by the power of the Holy Spirit, anchored his soul in the sovereignty of God. But you break the bow. You can stop the war. You can stop the chariot. I'm going to just be still right now. You're God. You got this. As you reflect on the many storms in your own life, all your good times, your bad times, the storms you're still in tonight, you see the psalmist helps us in our friendship with God be reminded and be reconvinced that God is sovereign and he is in control and he is going to supernaturally stabilize you through any trial that comes your way. You will have a stillness and a rock solid knowledge that he is God. And you'll find your heart saying things like Psalm 10, the Lord is King forever and ever. Psalm 21, verse 7, through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Psalm 61, hear my cry, O Lord, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you, and when my heart's faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Again and again, you and I will learn to see that he's got us. Wherever we're at, whatever you're feeling, you'll see His sovereign grace, and He'll rescue and redeem you again and again. And perhaps tonight, you are a soul that needs to hear just that. Oh, friendship with God is so sweet. The sacred friendship. In this friendship, He means to breathe life into you. Renew hope and joy. Strength. You know what happens when you hang out with God? Let me read this to you. Psalm 16, verse 8 and 11. I have set the Lord always before me. God, I'm with you. You're always before me. You're hanging with Him. And at my right hand, I will not be shaken. You know what happens when you're in His presence? Stability. And then He says, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. You know what happens when you hang out with God and He's a really close friend of yours? Anchored soul in the sovereignty of God. Stability. I don't know how anyone makes it through this life without friendship with God. Friendship. Not just being told what you're to do and how you're to behave and how you are to live as Christian. But to have a friend that will help you along, limping on along the way, obeying the commandments of God. Empathizing, sympathizing. Yes, rebuking. Yes, correcting. Yes, admonishing. But lifting you up. I don't know how anyone does it without the Holy Spirit and the person of Christ. Walking and talking with Him. Pouring out your soul again and again and getting anchored again and again. I don't know how any Christian could do it without friendship with God. And as you and I grow deeper in this friendship with God, the affection for His Word, you and I will become more and more stable, church. You will. More and more rooted. You will. More and more established and strong and secure, you will, in your life and in your ministry. You will. This is why I love hanging out with older, mature, seasoned saints. I just love it. I love how they talk about things that for me is like the end of the world. And they will agree that it's hard, but with this grace and peace in their eyes, they're just confident that He'll see you through. And they'll even counsel you with like a smile. Why? Because they've been there and they've done that and they've had this friendship with God that their souls just became so anchored in His promises. I like that. I like that I see people gesturing at each other. Because it's true. Last, and we'll be pal for this evening. The Psalms will call us to worship the Lord in all seasons. The Psalms will call us to worship the Lord in all seasons. And so as we pour out our heart and express it, and He anchors our soul in His sovereignty and saves and redeems again and again, the overflow of that is going to be praise. Rejoice in the Lord, sing praises to the Lord, worship the Lord is overwhelmingly found more in the book of Psalms than any other book in the entire Bible. I tried to count those phrases just to be sound smart tonight and say, rejoice in the Lord is blah, blah, blah. And it was just too much. I was overwhelmed. I was like, you know what? Jeremiah doesn't have more than the Psalms. Genesis, like no other book has more than the Psalms. It's just full of it, of praise and worship. It's so God-centered, this book. It's so God-glorifying, this book. And you and I were actually created to function fully in that way. That's why you and I, there's a joy in just rejoicing over something that, like a sports team you watch that won the Super Bowl, or someone that, your favorite music artist that sings that song, and you're just like, ah! You know, like, it's just a pleasure to watch your child score a goal, and you go, yeah, buddy, yeah! You know, like, that's a joy. Can you imagine if there was a rule that says, silence, no cheering after the touchdown? Oh! Red flag, the touchdown doesn't count because too loud, I'm a stand. that would like kill you, right? That's faint foretaste of what we were called to worship God. That's why it's just so satisfying to sing a song and your heart, your soul says yes. And that's why it's so awkward to sing a Christian song stiff and heartless, because you don't really believe it. That's why it's supposed to be loud in here when we sing. But not fabricated by pumping each other up and getting emotional. But it's like, I have a friendship with God. And what that yes. You guys have your favorite soul songs, soul jams, right? That's why love music sells so well. Because everyone gets heartbroken in middle school. And someone just writes a song about it. And then you're just like, yes, I do have it, Dad. And I am on the phone. You know, like it just speaks to your soul because you know it. You experience it. But so it is with Christian music. It's supposed to be like, yes. Psalm 32, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. Shout for joy, all the upright in heart. If you're righteous, he's supposed to be a shouter. That's nuts. Psalm 42, clap your hands. Shout to God. Loud songs of joy. I mean, the volume on the book of Psalms, it's just like, you know? Psalm 68, sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up songs to him. Psalm 100, make joyful noise to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Friendship with God is fun. Like, it's so fun. And it's so everything else. So, this is just intro to the summer. My prayer is that the Lord would let friendship with God fill this place so much that the overflow of that friendship is faithful living to the glory of God. Faithful living. I think this is a part of our walk with God that if it is failing, you can have the most sound theology. You can be the most disciplined, spiritual disciplined person. But if you ain't got romance, if you ain't got fire, if you ain't have friendship, I mean, God did not die on the cross to save you just to save you. He didn't even die on the cross to just save you and then send you out into the mission field. He died on the cross to save you, yes. To be with him. To enjoy him. To delight in him. Like to have fun getting in the car after this just because you're with him. You text all your friends, no one's free for lunch, but that's okay. I got him. That's my prayer. And guys, it's my prayer for myself. So throughout our series, here's the encouragement, the application. I want to encourage you all to get a notebook and begin a new, fresh, just writing out your prayers, thoughts, and meditations. I would challenge you tonight to just go and write out whatever's in your heart. That's the psalm that I first showed us. Psalm 62. Trust in him at all times. Why? Because at all times it's going to be hard to trust him. And here's how you're going to start trusting him. Pour out your heart before him. This is tough, God. This is great, God. This is difficult, Lord. I'm confused, Father. I don't understand how long. I don't know why. But before him. And I say right because the Psalms already pictures for us written prayers and song. There is something beautiful about writing. So I'm not asking you to just go take a prayer walk. I'm asking you to write. Process your thoughts. Even write, I don't know what to write. Articulate that. I can't believe am I really getting through to you? And again, you are, if you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's my challenge to you, and it's going to be my challenge throughout the rest of the summer. And as we work through these Psalms, we're going to let the Bible shape how we articulate and express ourselves to God. And I believe that our friendship with Him will be good. Let me pray for us, and then, brother, you got one more song for us in closing? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, awaken in our souls an appetite to know You like we've never known before. One day, we will know You in full, but that day is not today. None of us here have perished yet. We're not dead. We haven't breathed our last. You did not come yet in Your second coming. So we are living now in this time and space where we have the opportunity and the choice of whether if we're going to walk with You at a distance or if we're going to walk side by side, hand in hand, even on Your back at times, just being carried by You through this life. Let friendship with God be something to us that is just indescribable. Help us all see what a friend we have in Jesus. That all our sins and grief to bear. To see that it's such a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And if we don't see it, we're not going to do it, God. So Holy Spirit, send us not out into the mission field just yet. Send us running into the arms of the Father. Because I would dare to believe that there are many brothers and sisters this evening that just need to be held. They just need to be reminded. They just need You to speak tenderly to them. They just need to be drawn near and close to You again. That's it. They need to come to the cross. They need to survey it. Oh, Jesus, do this, we pray. Fill us up. Draw us near. And we will be sent out. So as we sing, help us to heed the words, to sing loud, to sing from our hearts, to pour out our souls. And even if we don't have the strength to sing vocally, that's okay. Romans says that You intercede over us even when we don't have the words. And if all we got to do is groan or say la, then that's fine as well. Just keep drawing us closer into sweet fellowship, sweet friendship with the living God. Do this now, we pray. And we pray over this summer that it would be a summer, not a summer fling, but a summer filled with love, life, friendship that's forever. Do this, we pray. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If we can sing this last song standing together, please join us in standing. You don't have to stand.
Privilege to carry. Thank you.